You're listening to The Truth Podcast from PursueGod.org.
It's Easter week. For most of the world, that means pastel colors, chocolate bunnies, and maybe a nice brunch with the family. But if you strip away the tradition and look at the historical and theological bones of this week, it wasn't a celebration. It was actually, read your Bibles, it was actually a legal proceeding. From Palm Sunday to Good Friday, Jesus wasn't just wandering around Jerusalem. He was being maneuvered into a courtroom, actually several courtrooms. He was tried by the Sanhedrin, then by Pilate, then by Herod, and then back to Pilate. But here's the truth. While the world was putting Jesus on trial, God was actually putting the world on trial. You know, we look at the cross and we see a tragedy. We see a good man caught in the gears of a corrupt system. But the ancient texts tell us that the cross wasn't a mistake. It was a deliberate, cosmic, legal strategy. It was the moment that the judge of all the earth stepped off the bench, took off his robe, and stood in the defendant's dock for you and for me. Today, we're going to look at the courtroom of the cross. We're going to deconstruct why being a good person is actually a losing legal strategy, and why the resurrection isn't just a miracle, it's the definitive proof that the work is finally done. This is an episode not just for Christians who celebrate Easter gladly and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and people who know what that's all about. It's also for those of you who maybe are going to be going to church this weekend. You don't usually go, maybe on Christmas, maybe on Easter. You're going to church. I want you to open your eyes to what this day, this week is really about. At the heart of the week lies the most fundamental question of the Christian faith. Why did Jesus have to die? We often want to view God as a grandfather who just winks at our mistakes, but the biblical narrative consistently uses the language of the bema, that's the word in Greek for the judgment seat. In ancient Hebrew tradition, justice is inseparable from the character of God. If God is the source of all moral order, then he can't simply ignore a violation of that order any more than a mathematician can ignore a stray decimal point. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. If God is love, why all the talk about guilt and courtrooms? Doesn't it feel a little bit archaic, a little bit old school? But think of it like this. If you see someone commit a heinous crime, in fact, let's just say they commit a heinous crime against you or your family. And then the judge says, I'm a loving guy, so I'm just going to let it slide. Well, you wouldn't call that judge loving. You'd call him evil. You'd call him corrupt or unjust. Love without justice is corruption. It doesn't protect the victim, and it doesn't honor the truth. To be a good God, he must be a judge. He must address the pride, the greed, the quiet ways that we devalue other people. And this is a problem that we all have, every single one of us. Listen to how the Apostle Paul lays it out in Romans chapter 3. It says, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. The author uses this vivid, really, it's kind of gross imagery, the stench of an open grave, to describe human speech and motives. Why? Because he's trying to shut every mouth. Imagine standing in court with your good person resume, right? You've got your volunteer hours listed. You've got your I'm a loyal friend bullet points. And then the prosecutor plays a recording of your internal monologue from the last 48 hours. Every judgmental thought, every selfish impulse. Can you imagine that? You would be totally busted. God's rules, the law, it's not there to give you a to-do list so that you can earn a spot in heaven. The purpose of the law is to show us how sinful we are. It's actually a diagnostic tool. You don't get mad at a thermometer for telling you that you have a fever. The law just reports the temperature of your heart. And it doesn't just do this for the worst among us. It does it for every single one of us because every single one of us is imperfect and broken. And every single one of us is guilty before God. And this brings us back to the core question. Why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't God just declare us forgiven and leave it at that? Why couldn't he have just written, you're okay, I'm all good, in the clouds? I mean, he's God, he can do whatever he wants. The reason is because of a legal concept called substitution, or the biblical concept is substitutionary atonement. Imagine you're driving through a small town and you accidentally hit a fire hydrant. The fine is $5,000, but you don't have $5,000. You're standing before the local magistrate and he says, hey, the law is the law. You pay the fine or you go to jail. But then, just keep imagining this with me, the magistrate does something you didn't expect. He stands up, he takes off his robe, he reaches into his pocket and he writes a check for $5,000. He hands it to the court clerk. Then he sits back down, he puts his robe back on, and he says, the debt has been paid, you're free to go. The law was satisfied, the debt was real, but the judge paid it himself. This is why Jesus had to die. Justice demanded a penalty, but love provided the payment. 2 Corinthians 5:21 in the Bible says this, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. In the Greek, this is what's called a double imputation. Number one, your rap sheet, my rap sheet, for every single one of us, every legal infraction we've ever committed, was credited to Jesus on the cross. In other words, he was imputed, he took on our infractions, our sins, our rap sheet. But then number two, his perfect record, his flawless obedience, because Jesus never sinned, Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus was the only one to ever walk the face of the earth who wasn't guilty. So his obedience was credited to you and to me. So he gets our rap sheet. We get his perfect record. This is what Easter week is all about. When Jesus was hanging on that cross between two thieves, he wasn't just dying for religion. He was actually absorbing the legal consequences of my life and your life. And then when he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? He was experiencing the sentencing that we deserve, total separation from God himself. And then on that day, Good Friday, when he reached the end of his breath, he whispered this one word. In Greek, the word is tetelestai. Now, in our English Bibles, we translate this as it is finished. So Jesus said, it is finished. And this is probably the most important legal declaration in human history. See, in the first century, tetelestai was a cry of completion. It was used by an artist who had finished a masterpiece or a servant who had successfully completed a difficult assignment. It signaled that the work was done, finished. Nothing could be added to it. Nothing could be taken away from it. So when Jesus cried out tetelestai from the cross, he was saying, the work of redemption, the work of atonement is finished, and Jesus did all the work. And at that exact moment, the historical record says that the curtain in the temple, that massive thick veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the people, was torn in two, and it was torn from the top to the bottom. Now, this is a massive legal detail. It meant that the restraining order between a holy God and a sinful people had been lifted, because that's what that curtain, that veil, was all about. It was about keeping people, regular people like me and you, from accessing a holy God. But when Jesus died, he was basically opening up access through him for every single one of us, whoever of us would put our faith in Jesus. He's opening up that access so that we can have a relationship with God, that we can be reconciled to God. Now, a skeptic might ask, okay, if it is really finished, does that mean that I can just live like a jerk now? Is this just a get out of jail free card? But think for a second about the psychology of that. If someone completes a massive project for you and that you were failing at, you know, if someone literally took a bullet for you, your natural reaction wouldn't be, great, now I can go shoot more people. Your reaction would be to have profound gratitude for that person who just finished the work for you. In the courtroom of God, we're not just acquitted, you know, found not guilty. We're actually justified. We're declared righteous. So to be acquitted means that we get off on a technicality. But to be justified means that the judge looks at us and says, in my eyes, you have the same standing as my own son. This is what happened. This is the exchange that happened at the cross. And this doesn't lead to recklessness. It leads to a total surrender of the heart because the work is already finished. Jesus did it for us. Now, we can't talk about the courtroom without talking about what's happening this coming Sunday, Easter. If the cross was the moment that Jesus declared it is finished, then the resurrection is the verification of that claim. It answers the final why of Jesus' death. He had to die to pay the debt, but he had to rise to prove that the debt was really gone. If Jesus had stayed in the grave, we would never know for sure if his work was actually completed. But in the book of Romans, we read this: he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. The resurrection is God the Father's way of saying the work is really, truly finished. The debt is canceled. The not guilty verdict is now a matter of public record. So as you go through this Easter week, stop trying to be better to earn God's favor. That's like trying to finish a project that has already been perfected. It's an insult to the one who said to Tetelestai, it's finished. Instead, look at the cross and see your rap sheet nailed to it. Look at the empty tomb and see your release papers. The performance trap is over. You don't have to live in fear of the judge's gavel anymore. Because of Easter, the judge isn't looking for a reason to condemn you or to me. He's looking at us through the completed, finished work of his son. The case is closed. The verdict is in. You and I are justified if we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're listening to this and you haven't yet done that, go over to pursuegod.org, check out our series called The Pursuit, and in particular, make sure to look at lesson number 6 in that series. It talks about how you can place your faith in Jesus Christ and become one of his followers. In fact, go through The Pursuit series with a Christian friend.